AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm watching every pass and run by Arch on Saturday. I gotta say, and I want to talk about Kevin Durant first, but I gotta say he throws a lot of good swing and screen passes. Other than that, there aren't a lot of great throws. But
there's not even a lot of good throws.
No, I know he misses some easy.
He's pretty much throws. A bad quarterback. Yeah. Whose last name happens to
the
be
line's
Manny.
Not in
it, it's either. Really time to they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
It's really time to talk about. The offensive line is one of the worst that Texas has had in a long time. Arch Manning is a bad quarterback. There's not really a lot. If his name wasn't Manning, we wouldn't give a second thought. The backup would be him. I saw it said best by someone on Twitter, just said they're being held hostage to the Manning name. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Sark is hostage to the Manning name, or a backup would be him. But
he does throw a nice swing pass.
Well, I mean, the swing passes are good if you want to run a swing pass offense. That's not bad.
Well, okay.
Longhorn Scott was fighting it too. Arch is actually really good. It's offensive line. If it wasn't for the offensive line, this guy probably would be on the Heisman talk.
He misses too many easy throws. Throws that you just got to make.
Throws that basic average starters, like the goal is just to be an average quarterback and college quarterback. Forget the pros. Just an average college quarterback.
Is it just his first year of playing and we got to, he's got to get
Learn how to throw the football?
Well, he's got to get another. No, he's got to get another chance.
No, that's not really it.
He can get fast for him.
He can get better, but
Maybe it'll speed up next year.
Whatever. Maybe the throws will be more accurate.
I mean, look at Carson Beck. Look at how great he is.
Yeah, Carson Beck's really on a heater right now. Uh-huh. He is having a good year. Carson Beck was a multi-year starter.
After the other night?
No, I said he was having a good year.
Oh, he was having a good year. Yeah, he was. But you know what? Carson Beck was better after another year, another place. Maybe Arch goes somewhere else, and maybe Arch is better next year.
Well,
I don't know.
I think some Longhorn fans are hoping Arch goes someplace else.
Well, if I'm a Longhorn fan or if I'm Sark, I'm not sure I want him back next year.
Well, you know what? We'll do this. How about later today we do a national, which we'll start at regional. We'll do a national Quinn Ewers apology segment, where if you were irrationally hard, if you look back and you say, you know what, I was probably too hard on Quinn Ewers, we're going to give you a chance to call and say that. So we'll give you an open forum. I know Longhorn fans don't like to admit that, but you can say, I was, in hindsight, a little bit hard on Quinn Ewers.
It's hard as Mike McDaniel was on him yesterday after he came in for his first three snaps. McDaniel just ignored him coming off the field.
I wouldn't worry about Mike McDaniel too long. That's not even your head coach.
You don't need his approval.
Yeah, if you're Quinn Ewers, you're like, what does Chris Greer think? My GM, I don't care about Mike.
Well, I'm McDaniel. Not sure how long he's going to be there either.
Well, for the rest of the year.
Yeah, right.
For the rest of the year, I don't think Mike McDaniel will be, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, I don't think Mike McDaniel makes it out of today.
I don't think Giants backup kicker. I don't think he'll. I don't think he'll make it to next week. I don't think Mike McDaniel makes it very long. I don't know. There's a lot for us to cover, but you see, we started with Arch because it was one of the worst. It was one of the, as a Longhorn friend of mine said, it was the most embarrassing win he's been a part of as a fan in 30 years.
Well, I've got counters to that. Okay.
Okay.
I've got counters.
I want to hear what it sounds like when you lose 2 yards in overtime, the other team gains 24 and a half yards, and you pull out the W. I want to hear how, and you have 172 yards of total offense and 8 first downs in regulation.
You got 8 first downs.
Now the other team had 3. The other team had 377 and 25. So I mean, this is that. But if they'd called more swing passes, I think everything would have gotten fixed.
And that's on Sark.
That's on Sark.
We got to do what we do. We got to put our guys in a position to win. We got to do what our guys do well.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's swing passes.
Yep.
We got to do more of that. Kevin Durant is the lead for us in this this Monday because that was the biggest Houston story that there is. Other than the Cougs pulling out a 31-28 win, nicely done, Cougs.
Or the Cougs losing in a secret scrimmage game yesterday. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Basketball team got beat.
Good. Good.
By Ole Miss.
Well, guess what? Good. I mean, you don't think that's something? Are you kidding? Coach loves that.
Not good for the players.
No, good for them. It is great. They lost a couple of games early last year and ended up number 2 in the
country. Well, this is obviously not a – it's one of their secret little scrimmages that they have. They had one – I remember they had them back-to-back years against the
Longhorns. Well, it shows the guys where they need to be. And if they're not there, then Coach will get them there.
But it was a secret because College Basketball Report put it out there that Ole Miss – whipped them pretty good.
Good.
I think they won by
Coach,
7 or something like that.
Because if they get too high on their horse, guess what? Coach is going to have to bring them down. Now he's got to build them up. I love that. So Kevin Durant signs the – and I'm pretty sure this is about what I said he'd sign for, $45 a year. And he,
well, he took less.
He left – no, he took 92 years, 90.
I know he took way less.
I know, no. That's what I said. He was going to take less.
He took 30 less. Now, I don't know if –
win a championship.
I don't know if the offer was ever going to be $60 million. You know what I mean?
We don't know what the negotiations were. I don't want to speculate on that. All I know is he took 45 per year, which opens up the door for them to do some more stuff. And he's being altruistic, okay? And that's, you know, he could have taken 120 or could have asked for 120. Maybe they don't give it to him. I don't know. We don't know what they would have given him. But I do know that he got 90, and that's a good number for the – you know what? They've done really good. They did a good number with Jalen. They did a good number with Alpi. They did a good number with Jabari. They're doing a good number with Kevin Durant. They're doing – you know what? They're putting together some good numbers.
Rafael Stone has across the board – the contracts have been good contracts.
Yeah.
Across the board, the numbers have been fair. You know, some would say favorable put to the home team, but you only say that if you assume that the that inflated contracts on the player side is the norm. I think these are fair contracts he's doing across the board for player side, owner side. Like I think they're equitable contracts relative to performance and the time of the timing of the contracts. Kevin Durant could have taken more. I think there was always a belief that he would not get to that top number because it just wouldn't make a lot of sense financially for the Rockets. But 45 is terrific for the Rockets. I mean, look, it's $90 million. He won't spend this. I understand he won't spend 1 year of his money for the rest of his life. That's, you know, that's understandable. He's not going to even spend that for the rest of his life. But relative to the cap and what the Rockets now can get a deal done with Tari Eason if they want to. You may say, well, why would they do that? He's had injury concerns. He wants to play more. Maybe he doesn't want to stay. But if you have a chance to lock down a core of Tari, Jabari, Alperen, Kevin Durant for 3 years, Amen Thompson, like you're literally locking in a core. You got the ability. This is rare in NBA. In the NBA, to lock in your core for a minimum of 3 years together is rare.
It's golden
rare,
stage.
Rare, rare.
It's golden stage.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. And you forgot Reed Shepard.
Okay.
In that core.
Well, I'm just going to kind of.
Well, you did forget him.
See how that goes.
Well, let's go.
I can't put you in a core until I see you play.
Well, don't worry, he's core. He's going to be core.
Okay? I know that. I know he's. Yeah, I've heard. Well, I just want to see if he plays this year.
Third overall picks never bust in the NBA. So
no, never.
Never. So I just don't know. I don't know what you're thinking, but
I don't think he's a bust. I just, you know.
That was when we see that number, and the 90 million, it's like, yes. And you know, and you're right. It's 90 million, and all of us, none of us will make 90 million. Everybody listening to the show today, it'll be hard for everybody to have made altogether making $90 million.
But, oh, yeah.
But it's a good number. It's a really good number. And the Rockets do it again with taking, I mean, everybody wants to be here. Taking hometown discounts, okay? There's no question, like LP, he could have been put, you know, he could have put you up against the wall and said, no, I'm not signing anything. He could go Fromber on you. He could go Garrett Cole on you. He could go, no, I'm waiting. Kyle Tucker.
They're smart. They did it early. Now, there's a huge advantage in the NBA. There's a huge advantage because you can negotiate early, but you also have your, you know, when you do get paid from your hometown team, when your contract's at the end, you can max it out at a much higher number. So there's big advantages. But the Rockets did it early, and they got a number. Had they waited a year, it probably goes up. You know, that's why if you're going to do this stuff, you do it earlier rather than later. And yeah. And they did.
They've done that with everybody. They've done mm-hmm. that with all of them. Let's do it early. Let's get this done. Let's give you a fair number. And guys are taking it as opposed. Well, there's no Scott Boras in basketball, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's cap. There's cap numbers. So Scott would be like, well, no, I'm not going to waste my time in this sport.
Yeah, but there's also, I can make $60 million a year. There's only one guy in baseball doing that. So, you know, I mean, there's a few guys going to be that are going to be above, you know, or just right at Shohei Ohtani. I mean, there's guy. You can make some money now in the NBA.
Oh yeah, you can. But Scott Boras is not. Scott Boras has no interest unless there's an uncapped. He's just a baseball guy.
Yeah. Yep. And that's good. I mean, you don't have anybody saying no. You have to get the free agency. No, you don't. You don't have to get the free agency. Your team can pay you. And in these cases, the Rockets are actually paying less than max, which is unbelievable. Uh-huh. But we also had some great football games yesterday. Man, I mean, highly underrated was that Packers-Cardinals game.
Yeah.
The best game of the day, though, was the Broncos. Down 19 heading into the fourth quarter. And then they did something historic. So you got Kevin Harlan after the game. You can hear him telling a statistic that is incredible. Incredible. First of all, they were down 19-0. Then they were down with 6 minutes left, 26-8. And the Giants kicker misses two extra points. And with 33 seconds left after a Jackson Dart touchdown. Jackson Dart taking him down the field. I mean, his interception was horrible, horrible. But he took him down the field and got the score, drove him right down. And well, with the help of a very questionable interference call in the end zone,
for sure.
That was very questionable, but he did score. 33 seconds left. Bo Nix, two passes, boom, down the field.
Two passes. They had no timeouts.
And they let him get out of. Well, no, he actually stayed in bounds, and they spiked it with three seconds left.
Yeah, but like
left.
I said, they had no timeouts.
Yeah, no timeouts. He didn't even get out of bounds. So they kick the field goal, win the game, and here is Kevin Harlan.
So improbable, NFL teams had won 1,602 consecutive games when leading by 18 points in the final 6 minutes of a game. We've had three lead changes in the final minute 51. And two extra point misses by a young kicker for the Giants. The game-winning 39-yard field goal by Lutz. And Denver scores 33 points in the fourth quarter. 33 points in the fourth, the most ever by a Bronco team in history.
And they only had eight with 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
That was... I thought, okay, that's a really bad interception, Jackson Dart, but there's no way they can still come. And sure enough, everything fell their way, except the interference call, which put – and listen, you would think if you're going to be down 18 with 6 minutes left that the other team can't possibly score again. Otherwise, it's over. One more score, it's over.
Yeah.
And they had a touchdown and still lost the game.
Yeah.
Apparently, Brian Daboll broke a chair in the locker room after the game, and somebody said, oh, it's a mess in there. I was like, no, he should have broke a chair. He should have broken the whole to everything he saw. He should have broken.
Yeah.
That I'm going to tell you this. The Giants are a problem with Jaxson Dart.
Oh, look, he's got some limitations on certain throws at times for tight windows. But if you look at his touchdowns, they're all going to tight ends and running backs. Like, he's staying inside. He can't do that forever. But also his top player is gone. Malik Nabers is gone. So
yeah.
And they don't have great wide receivers. So everything goes to Theo Johnson.
Making some plays. Wandale had a nice game.
Who's that?
Wandale.
Yeah, no, and he's a slot receiver. So Everything's going to the slots, the tight ends, the running backs. It's all very – I think down the road there's going to be a little more of a challenge for him. But, man, is he playing great. He has all the – he's suited for New York. He is not – it's not too big for him at all. He's got tremendous fortitude. He's got the swagger it takes to compete in New York with that fan base and that media. I am going to be wrong on him because he is a guy who it is not too big for him at all.
At all.
And he makes plays. Like, he makes plays on the move. His mobility is terrific. But Bo Nix, you know, it was a really interesting game for quarterbacks because Bo Nix is a young guy who, you know, was kind of a it was a bit of an afterthought behind Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Drake May. Bo Nix is going to end up being number one or two out of that class. You know, we'll see. I mean, Jaden Daniels, things aren't as easy for Jaden Daniels this year.
Hey.
Now, Terry McLaurin is, you know, not being healthy has hurt him, but it's, and I didn't think it would be. It is not, it's not as easy for Jaden Daniels this year.
No.
It is for Dak Prescott, but not Jaden Daniels.
No, Jaden Daniels, he got hurt yesterday too with a hamstring.
Uh-huh.
But what are you talking about? The Giants have Daniel Bellinger and Theo Johnson.
Catching touchdowns.
Wide receiver.
They both caught
that's
touchdowns.
It's what they do. Theo
Johnson,
that quarter,
that's his like third quarter. That's his third or fourth touchdown from Jaxson Dart. Like, he throws the tight ends. That's what he does.
That quarterback draft looks pretty good.
Well, the
right
way
now.
Drake May is playing?
Holy crap.
It looks really good. Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Drake May, and Caleb Williams looks really good. Those four.
I mean, we were worried about, not that draft. But I'll tell you this, Jaxson Dart is, you know, he's helping this. Cam Ward yesterday, holy crap. He had New England. He it was too much for him. And we knew that. We talked about it during the week. Mike Vrabel going back there.
Coach of the year.
Had something to do there.
Yeah.
He wanted to do something to him, do something ugly to that team, and he did. That was ugly.
He did something ugly to them, for sure.
Yeah, he did. And you know what's ugly as well is your property taxes. And Ownwell makes it look pretty again. Ownwell, property taxes, they're showing up this month. When you see that property tax bill in your mailbox, okay, it'll hurt. But you know what? You can save money with Ownwell. Time to set yourself up for massive savings next year with Ownwell. Okay, you can save. If you don't fight this thing, it just compounds because, I didn't fight it this year, and boom, my property taxes are way more than they should be. Well, you know what it's going to do next year? It's going to go up again. It's going to go up from there. And maybe it shouldn't even be to that place in 2 years because the government always screws you. 86% of the time, Ownwell wins. 86% of the time, the government is wrong. Last year, 60,000 Houston homeowners switched to Ownwell received, on average, better reductions than similar agents. Over $1,100 on average for Ownwell customers. Don't try to do this yourself. You don't know. Stop overpaying. Start saving with Ownwell. Sign up 3 minutes at Ownwell.com/Texas. That's OWNWELL.com/Texas.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell. Hey, we didn't even mention we got a Game 7 tonight. Game 7 tonight along with our Texans. Our Texans will be, that game seven will be probably in about seventh or eighth inning by the time the Texans kick off. Last night Toronto wins game six to send it to game seven. It just would be so sweet to get Seattle right to the brink of the World Series they've never been in. Then just yanked out from under. Yanked out. Let's go. This Toronto team can hit now. This is fun.
This is
it's a good series.
You know, we gotta reference this. The greatest game, maybe in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
Certainly in the history of the postseason. It is something to behold. Truly something you see on a video game. Shohei Ohtani has a 10-pitch, strikes out the side with 10 pitches. All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Almost the perfect inning. Then he hits a home run as a leadoff hitter. So he gets off the field after striking out three with 10 pitches. He gets off the field, goes and puts his batting gloves and his helmet on, grabs his bat, takes a few swings in the on deck circle while the pitcher finishes warming up. Then hits a home run. Then he hits. Then he ends up completing six innings, gives up two hits, strikes out 10. Then he hits another home run. Then he hits another home run. He had three home runs, struck out 10 in six. I want to say it was six. He didn't go beyond six, did he? Gave up two hits. He had more home runs than hits allowed.
Two hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts, three home runs. It is being called maybe not only the best baseball game ever, maybe the greatest individual sport.
Performance
in a sport.
You just jump up and say yes, it automatically is. We'd have to think about it. It's going to be hard to find something. First of all, it's so rare for a player ever to do that in the history of baseball. You have to go back to Babe Ruth. You're going back 100 years to go find this. And then Babe Ruth, I doubt, did what Ohtani did. So, I mean, it's probably the best individual in baseball, for sure.
No, he didn't do what Ohtani did.
No, it's just there's no way he did.
I mean, that is just what he did the other night was.
Now, that's what generational looks like. Whatever. So when Caleb Williams is throwing passes, stop saying generational. When Arch is coming into a season, you're like, Arch Manning's going to be generational. Stop saying generational. Stop using the term. It's Jordan. It's LeBron. It's Tiger. It's Ohtani. That's what generational means. Of a generation, a guy who stands out above all else. Stop using generational for every single player you see that happens to be good. This is what it looks like, Shohei Ohtani. You won't see another one for the rest of your life, frankly. You're not going to see another Ohtani. You can die. You will not see another Ohtani. And he's huge. And he's like larger than life physically, too.
Yeah. That was the performance for the ages. Yep, that's generational. I mean, I didn't watch any of it, any care to. I was just, football's on.
Yeah, I had football too, but still, yeah. I heard it was good. I saw the stats.
I heard the stats were cool. Yeah. I saw it on ESPN. I saw it. It was great. It was great what they did. But last night watched, and that was something.
I didn't care about the Sunday night game. For the first time all year, I'm like, eh.
Well, it was a 20-10 game. I'll tell you this. It's fantasy talk, but Eddie Pinheiro has been the best pickup ever because that's all San Francisco does is kick field goals.
Kick field goals, yeah.
That's all they do. They can't score. They don't score touchdowns. I love that team.
Okay, so to the Texans, we got a huge game. I know it's going to sound like hyperbole, but I think when it's all said and done, if you lose today, your season's over. I think if you go 2-4, if you look at the way the playoffs are aligned, there's going to be a team that gets out of the North, obviously a division winner. You're going to have the Bills and the Patriots make it out of that division. They got, it's 1-13 between the Jets and the Dolphins. Those two teams are atrocious. So every game they play, that's a W. So those two teams are going to make it. You're going to have the Colts are going to win the division. If you lose today, it's basically this division's a wrap. You have three teams in the West that are all, you know, the Chargers right now look like the least of the Chargers are the worst of those three teams. But yeah. you got the Chiefs and you got the and Chiefs are looking good with Rashee Rice back. The Chiefs have really kicked it into gear, and then the Broncos are just, you know, they're tough to beat.
No, the Broncos are good.
So I think, you know, you start adding up the playoff spots, and you're going to run out of spots if you lose this game.
Well, right. Well, you could be that other team. You could be that other team.
Well, you got to get some wins somewhere.
We've seen teams. We saw the Rams start really slow last year, and you know their defense got them back in it, and they made the playoffs. You know, that's it. Just is what it is.
But they won that division, though, right? Yes, they won the division.
It came down to the last day, didn't it?
Yeah, you won the division. There ain't going to be no winning the division if you.
Yeah, that doesn't matter though. The Texans are not winning the division though. They're not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to need a lot of help. You will not control your own destiny if you lose them.
Yeah, that's probably true. You got a tough. I mean, the schedule.
You don't have an easy one. I mean, you know, you have to, now. It turns into you have to beat Buffalo. You must beat Buffalo just in case you have. You know, a tiebreaker situation.
Here's where I believe in this team. Defense. That's where, you know what? You know what good teams have? Good teams play really good defense, and they keep you in games. And then the offense has to just come around, and the offense has come around the last couple of games. I don't think it was great that they had the bye that week, last week. I just don't think it was great. So, but because it slowed them down a little bit. Listen. This is ain't gonna be, the Colts are a good football team. That's the best offense in the NFL right now.
The NFL, and it's manned by Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. All right, let's talk Texans and more football on the other side. If you get in, you're more than welcome to get in. We also got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence coming up in about 17 minutes, so we're going to do that as well. But right now we're talking about Chastain Ford. I'm talking about, you know, it's starting to work week, okay? Do you need another truck? Do you need something that's customized perfect for your business? It doesn't have to be a pickup. It can be any kind of box truck. Whatever it is, whatever kind of truck that you need for your business, delivery business, doesn't matter. They are going to customize that vehicle perfect for you. There's really, since they're the number one commercial dealer, Ford dealer in the city of Houston, and there's nothing that they haven't seen or haven't done, and there might be things that they can do that you didn't think of. So use their expertise, but the most important thing is they're going to do it how you want it, but they might have some good, great suggestions for you and say, hey, wow, didn't think about that. Other businesses are doing it that way. Wow, I can do it that way as well. So use their expertise. Use their service, which is second to none. Use the price, which they're going to give you a great one on. And use it to customize, and their great experience, how you are going to get that truck, whatever kind of truck it is, perfect for your business. And, oh, by the way, perfect for residential as well. I mean, you don't have to be a business. You want all of those things? Yeah. Well, you can get them at Chastain Ford. No hassles. No upselling. They just don't do it. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach Willie Fritz joins us tomorrow. What a win. Nice win. Especially with Texas Tech losing at Arizona State. How about that? Tech loses. Arizona State, that was a tough, tough game. Boy, that came down to the final minutes, and Arizona State bounced back. And after Tech took the lead and Arizona State drives down the field and wins the football game, that was a good football game. We had a lot of good games this weekend. A lot of good football to watch. That was fun. That was good times. Texas, not so much. Okay. Real quick. How about this? So Colin Simmons and Michael Taft were interviewed after the game. And they're two defensive players for the Longhorns. Colin Simmons, Sark, in his interview, you'll hear the guy asking the question, saying, this is a defensive football team. Well, Colin Simmons was having none of that. None of that. Colin Simmons said, what? Now what now? Now what now about this defensive football team? Here's Colin Simmons and the question that was asked of him.
Sark was saying, the identity of this team right now is defense special teams.
Say that again?
Sark is saying the identity of y'all's team is defense and special teams.
And offense.
Sark didn't say that. So when he says defense, what does that mean to you when he says that's the identity of this team?
I think he meant to say defense, special teams, and offense. We're a team. We're a whole team. So, I mean, it ain't just defense and special teams. It's defense, special teams, and offense. We got the offense back. We got offense back. Offense got our back. Special teams got both our backs.
I like that.
Good leadership.
That is good leadership. That's really good. And then Michael
Sark just can't fake it. Sark's like, I can't fake it anymore.
No.
It's defensive. I mean, look, Niblett, the punt returner, saved the entire game.
Oh, my God.
If he doesn't have his game, the Longhorns lose, period.
Oh, my God. Is he good?
Yeah, he was a killer.
How do you kick to him? How do you kick to him if you're Kentucky?
I don't know.
Holy crap. That was that won the game for him. Niblett won the game. And then Michael Taft. Afterwards, he had this to say, and just a reminder to all of you out there that aren't in the SEC.
These questions seem a little bit negative, I'm not going to lie, guys, to the offense. And I'll say this, it's freaking hard to win in the SEC. Go ask Georgia when they won the national championship, what they did against Kentucky last year when, you know, they won the SEC championship. What they do against Kentucky last year. It's hard to win the SEC. So we freaking won. Let's put some smiles on our face. We won, and the show goes on, and we're dancing. And at the end of the day, we control our destiny. So we're going to keep on pushing, and we're going to do it with a smile on our face. And there's going to be corrections, and I trust in my guys. I trust in my coaches, and I'm freaking excited. So I want y'all to put some.
I want y'all to put some smiles on your faces talking to the media. What are you doing?
Right.
What are you talking about,
dude?
It's freaking hard. It's freaking hard out there. You had 8 first downs.
Did you ever beat
Do you
Kentucky?
Not know the standards of the fans at Texas? It ain't 8 first downs and 172 yards of offense. I can promise you that.
Let me ask you a question. How did they do against Kentucky when they won the national title in 2006?
Who?
Remember that game?
No.
Do you remember that game?
They didn't play them, did they?
No. They didn't play good. They were terrible. Oh, that was Kansas. That was Kansas.
Yeah, they weren't in the SEC back then.
Yeah. No, they weren't in the SEC.
It didn't mean as much.
But they played a
when
K
Vince
team,
won a national
a
championship,
terrible
it didn't win.
Team.
It didn't mean as much when Vince won the title.
But no,
they didn't play in the SEC.
Yeah, and it was 2005.
It meant a lot less.
Is Arch Vince Young?
Arch is Vince Young.
Obviously.
He runs like
Since we're making all these comps.
He does throw with his arms like here. But. Yeah. Like, Vince actually completed
well,
more
actually,
passes.
They both are, Uncle Rico.
Well, the yards per attempt are a lot higher for Vince Young. Shall we look? Because
yeah, no.
I can just, it's just a Google away. Yeah. I'm guessing Vince is 2.5 yards more per attempt than Arch Manning.
It doesn't matter. Listen, they played a K team. They didn't look very good.
I like that these guys are trying to have the offenses back. That's really good. Our job, though, is to talk about this. Michael Taft, defensive back, University of Texas, by Longhorn fans, and I'm married to one of them. My best friend was at the game in Kentucky. He called the offense limp, and the entire game was a limp performance by the. That's never. You can never even turn it around into being anything positive.
Have people in the SEC lost their minds? Mike Elko pulled something like this. Now they won. They beat Arkansas.
Brian Kelly does it on a regular basis.
Are they aware that the media isn't an arm of their PR firm?
No, they don't. They think that the media is supposed to be in lockstep. And I think they're thinking that because so much fan media covers the teams, you know, Orange Bloods and Horn fans and whatever.
Well, all of them. Every one of the coaches.
Oh, you're in Austin.
Brian Kelly, y'all are spoiled. Y'all are spoiled.
Exactly.
I mean,
Tiger droppings. Aren't y'all here from Tiger to Baton Rouge? Listen, the advocacy, you're supposed to be for us and with us. Hey, that wasn't a good performance, boys. That was an atrocious performance by your offense. You took the 106th ranked offense in all of college football, and they had 25 first downs and 377 yards in regulation. You had 8-172. You started the season as the number one team in the nation. Don't tell me. Hey, put some freaking smiles on our faces, boys. What do we do? Put some freaking smiles out here. How come we don't see more smiles? It's freaking hard to win. Let's smile. Let's get some smiles going on. Clap it up now. Smiles on three. One, two, three, smile. What are we doing? You are terrible. Stop telling everyone to smile and stop getting after the media when they ask questions about you. These questions are a little freaking, questions are a little bit freaking negative now.
Were there any women who were working for the media there? Because you know you can't tell a woman to smile when she doesn't want to. Ooh. So maybe we need to ask Michael Taft, is he a misogynist?
No, you need to say.
Hey, I didn't expect it to go there this morning.
You need to calm down. If you tell a woman to calm down, that's the only way to go
just
about it.
Just ask him a question. Listen, I got some questions. Your freaking defense stepped up when they needed to. You gave up 377 freaking yards, but you only gave up 13 freaking points. Can you talk about the freaking way the defense freaking stood up there at the goal line when y'all stopped them? They were a half yard from beating you, but then they ran, for some reason, they ran the exact same play a second time against 13 men in the box, basically, all in the A gap. Can you freaking talk about your defense freaking stopping them when they try to freaking run that run and dive over the freaking top of that pile? Talk about
great
that, Michael freaking
great
Taft.
Freaking stop. Listen, that's their team. They got to be like that.
I'm all for them.
I don't mind the players.
The media for not smiling is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well, he's a player. I don't mind that. It's the coaches that are.
Well, that's even worse when it's coaches.
Yeah, no, it's way worse when it's coaches. Way worse. And every one of them.
No, but he sounded like a coach there. You would have swore he was. That's coach talk.
If you told me that was Dabo, I would have said, yeah, okay.
That sounded like Dabo. Yeah, I did.
Well, it's better than what Carson Beck did. Carson Beck threw his wide receiver under the bus for that fourth interception.
Hey, well, they run the right route.
Well, his tight end, yeah.
He's trying to get into the draft. He didn't need that fourth interception. He's trying to make it in the draft.
I guess so. So that guy ran the wrong route.
Make sure everyone knows.
It was a good throw. That guy ran the wrong route. That ain't on me.
It didn't seem like a great throw, but okay.
Maybe Carson is saying, hey, he ran the wrong route, so I had to adjust, and that's why the ball came out that way. It's your fourth pick. Maybe we keep quiet whose route it run, who ran it wrong or not. You know what?
I really believe he was doing that to make sure it was out there because he knows, because he's embarrassed and he's like, I ain't trying to take all four of these.
Yeah, I got three.
And I got a draft coming up. I ain't taking the fourth.
Yeah.
Even if it's true, you got to eat it. Like, that's just the way. Because what happens is scouts will find you. You talk to them in person. They'll ask you. You know, they'll find out it wasn't yours. But he just didn't want to. He didn't want to wear it because he's embarrassed because he had such a pathetic game on Friday. For those who missed it, Miami lost to Louisville, and everyone, check on Dell. Longhorn Scott wanted us to do a wellness check on you.
I saw there was a tweet like that as well. I don't know if people have learned. I'm built by the fires of Larry Coker at the end of his run, Randy Shannon, and Al Golden and Manny Diaz. Trust me, I've suffered loss. Hey, hell, Mario Cristobal. I've had these losses. I'm okay. It's happened throughout my adulthood. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. All right, let's break. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. That happens next. So you got one sentence to tell us something that you learned this weekend. A lot of great football games to have learned from. But you probably learned something from your wife or a girl you met or your kids, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be about sports. It can be about anything. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776.
David says, if you believe y'all, if y'all started the show off with smiles, it might be a better show.
It might be a better show. Might be. You know what? You're right. He's right. Let's smile about all these wins for our teams. Let's also talk about Underdog right now.
Yeah. And, you know, so Monday Night Football, you got two Monday Night games. So this is perfect for Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy, good day for me. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you saw DeAndre Swift was playing, you know, was playing against a team that was probably against the Saints, whose defense has not been great, and you saw 57.5 yards. You didn't think higher on that one. You didn't think lower than 70.5 yards on Jordan Mason for the team he was playing. You didn't think about going higher on Quinshon Judkins' touchdowns, 0.5. You didn't think going, but when they was playing the Dolphins. Listen, if you're watching the games and you kind of know which teams are bad or good defensively, that gives you a big advantage for the higher or lower with your statistics. And that's what Underdog is all about. You download the app, use promo code Lance on your first deposit. They're going to give you $100 in bonus cash once you put that deposit in when you make your first play. So it's bonus funds, I should say. So you got a big hookup there. I mean, it's Monday Night Football going on right now. So Monday Night Football tonight, you've got two different games going on. The Texans are playing Seattle. That's one of the – and the Tampa Bay and Detroit. So there's going to be a lot of stats to choose for a lot of players that you've seen play a lot of football. So make your choices right now at Underdog Fantasy. The more picks you choose that win, the higher your payout is. You can win 500 times your original play. Don't miss out on it. Play along with the games you're watching anyway with Underdog Fantasy.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. You learned something, all right, that you didn't know before, but you only get one sentence to tell us what it is. I'll start. I didn't know that iPhone 1 that you bought for $499 could sell for as much as $50,000 at auction right now.
What? Wow, that's the very epitome of what did you learn.
How about that? So if you got one, an old one in your drawer, what? Go look through your junk drawer, Lance.
Wow.
713-780-3776 is the number to tell us. Dell, we got callers?
Yeah. Lance, did you learn anything before we move
on? I'm always bad at this.
He always chimes in if he does.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. I don't want him to chime in.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Well, here. Okay. All right. I guess we'll be ready for it.
I learned that basically deer, there's as many deer as there are humans where my parents live in New Braunfels. There.
Okay.
Congratulations. That was a good one.
Well, that was a good one. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Congrats.
Dell, let's go.
We start with Pena. Pena, what did you learn?
Hey, morning, guys. I learned this weekend that it'd be the girls built like refrigerators that have the most highest expectations in men. Thank you. Have a great day.
That's rough.
Girls built like
refrigerators.
They expect more from you?
Well, maybe they're looking for another man to match their size. They can crank out another Quentin Nelson.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying, girl, you shouldn't be looking for a high-quality man. Look at you, I think is what he's saying.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's terrible. How about let's please the big girls, too?
Well, I don't know. I think he'd be fine pleasing what you're suggesting. I think all the other ask are what he doesn't want to be a part of.
Be pleased too.
Well, maybe too much so. Let's move to, well, at least according to Pena, let's move to, well, one of two Keith. So if your name is Keith, just answer. Go, Keith.
I learned this weekend that top 10 ranked and 6-1 Vanderbilt football will host College Game Day for only the second time ever.
I learned that they're better. That
you know what? They were on College Game Day when they played Alabama, though. This is the second game of the year that frickin' Vanderbilt's featured in College Game Day.
Yeah.
Who do they have next? Is it Missouri?
Yeah. Is that the best?
Missouri squeezed out a win against Auburn. That's the only reason that game is happening.
The first time LSU has lost to Vanderbilt since 1990. That's the first time LSU. They were an underdog. And they lost the game. Brian, I'll tell you this. Brian Kelly ain't long. I know he's got a lot of money on that contract, but he ain't long for this LSU world. Who's next, Del?
We go to the other Keith. Keith, what'd you learn?
Hey, guys. One thing I learned this week is Josh Pate has hair. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, he does have hair. He just keeps it real close, but he doesn't keep it at a zero. He's more like a one. So, yeah, that's an intro. That's one of those things you go, huh? I don't know Josh Pate had hair.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't born like a hairless Siamese cat. He does have hair.
Yeah, he just doesn't grow it out for, well, there's obvious reasons there. But let's go to Julian. Julian, what did you learn?
George Kittle is easily the most important 49er when it comes to the run game. Bang, bang.
Oh, you got to cut off before
he didn't get the rest of it out because it's ridiculous. No one cares about that slogan. Let's move to... Really, no one cares. Let's move to Mark. Mark, what'd you learn?
The Dodgers are still the best team in baseball, and Shohei Ohtani is unreal.
Yeah,
it's true.
Well, and Dodgers were a big favorite this year. So,
Del, do you want to play that Mookie Betts thing?
What Mookie Betts thing?
I put it in there. It's disgusting. It's disgusting what Mookie Betts had to say. We'll play it after. But I wanted to puke when I heard this. Who's next, though?
Tom. Tom, what'd you learn?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that the fastest way to have your girl ask to see your phone is to let it slip that you saved her hot single friend's phone number in it.
Why would you let that slip?
Seems like an unforced error. Yeah, that is an unforced error. Right into the net.
Yeah. Saved her single friend's phone number.
Right to the net.
Just keep that to yourself. I get wanting to have a backup.
Oh,
just
maybe
in case.
She said, hey, well, we could call my. Oh, I got her number.
Nope.
What?
Don't do it. Got to be on your P's and Q's. Why would you have the number? And why wouldn't she have the number of her friend? Come on. You got caught, Tom. She tricked you.
Or she said, we got to call her. And you said, oh, I got her number.
Nope. You lie. You go, oh, I guess you're going to have to do it because I don't have it.
I don't know who she is.
Maybe you know I don't have her number.
Well, the friend might give it up.
Maybe he didn't think it was a big deal.
He should have.
Deal anyway.
Tom deals with a lot of women we know. Yeah. You got to know. You got to know that relationship between the girl and her friend and whether she's a little jealous of her because she's hot and single. Mm-hmm. You keep it to yourself.
It's a rookie mistake.
What are you doing? It's like, drinking on going out on New Year's Eve? What is that your thing?
Yeah.
Pros don't do that. Pros, Tom, no. I thought you were a pro. I'm going to send you back to the G League. Let's go to Tony from Friendswood.
Morning, gentlemen. I learned this weekend that Shohei Ohtani is on steroids, and he had the over on the home run. Someone check his account.
It's a few different sentences.
We don't know that he's on steroids.
Well, listen, I wish our players would always have the over on home runs, too, if it's that easy.
Yeah. We can assume it.
You can if you want.
Yeah.
We can also assume.
I'm with Tony on this one.
We can also assume he
probably
may be
cheating.
Using that interpreter as a cover because.
And he's cheating and he's gambling.
Well, you don't care about the gambling part.
No, I don't care.
No.
I don't care about the cheating either.
I think he's using that interpreter as a cover because I've seen him chat up Cameron Brink before, and he didn't need an interpreter then. Let's just be clear. Shohei's going to need an interpreter the rest of his career because he used one to get out of jail. So he's just going to have one throughout the rest of his professional career, unless he's chatting a pot blonde. Let's go to Will. Will, what'd you learn?
Yeah, well, as a Dodgers fan, Shohei Ohtani just retaught us that he's the greatest baseball player alive. No steroids needed, Tony.
A lot of Dodger content.
Why do we have this many Dodgers?
You guys kind of started it.
We hate the Dodgers.
You brought him up early.
Why would Dodger fan listen to this show?
You brought it up early.
Well, because there's going to be people who are t-shirt fans.
Well, everyone's a t-shirt fan.
Yeah.
In pro sports.
Well, how could you be a Dodger fan in Houston with their whiny little...
Well, I'm sure they moved just like you did.
I mean...
You're a Houston fan in L.A.
I'm not...
People move.
That's true. No, yeah,
and they're a national brand as
Actually, everybody moves from here to there. You're right.
So
it's not a lot. From Houston to L.A., sticker shock.
but Houston, right. LA to Houston.
From LA to Houston.
Yeah, now that happens, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I guess we would have a lot of Dodger fans.
Yeah, and they've been that a national brand.
Sense. I'm the only Astro fan here. The only one, period.
Let's go to another Will. Will, what'd you learn?
The only country in the entire world that doesn't have red, white, or blue on its flag is Jamaica.
Yeah, that's the only country?
Yeah, think about it. At least one of those colors.
Ireland, I guess, has white. Yeah. Jamaica is black, yellow, and green. Yeah.
Wow. Just think of it. You're going to at least wind up with white. Even if you think, hey, there's no red or blue. Yeah. White's going to be on the flag.
Always.
Yeah.
Joan says she learned.
Well, Sweden is yellow and blue.
I learned it's embarrassing that my 10-year-old neighbor throws passes more accurately than Arch. That's what Joan. That's what the show mom said.
Well,
she just put it right on Arch.
It's Arch. Is your 10-year-old neighbor facing SEC pass rushers?
It's freaking hard, Joan, to complete passes against Kentucky, okay?
I'm telling you.
Not if you throw a swing pass every time.
Well, you can't.
I think we should
that.
Do what we do best. Let's throw swing passes.
Well, they tried and they got, what, 13 points in regulation? Is that, or 10. What was it in regulation? 13?
I didn't say it'd work.
We got to do something else then.
Make Arch look good.
Sometimes.
Wow, his yards per average is 7.7. Arch, how's that possible?
Well, he's played a lot of bad football teams, too. Okay. They've played plenty of bad football teams where those numbers pick up. Let's go to underrated mess. What have you learned?
I learned that when you want to lay your bets, listen to Josh Pate.
He did Josh say upset Pate. Alert for
he
several
did
games.
Said upset alert on Louisville against, he did. He hit
Josh
a lot
Pate.
Of them.
Josh Pate has given us a lot of winners.
He seems
just
to.
Unwittingly.
Yeah, he just has an opinion and it ends up being a winner. And he, especially underdogs, it's almost like he just watches a lot of college football.
Yeah, I don't know why. Oh, that's his job.
So, I don't know if the intern got this wrong, but I've never heard of Dr. Dre on 249. But
is this fake Dr. Dre?
I don't know. Let's Dr. see. Dre, what's up?
Hey, come on, rock fellas. Hey, how about them Cowboys? We're back, baby. Let's go, Super Bowl, yeah.
That's a fake Dr. Dre, the caller. That's so inside. There's only going to be about 11 people who know that. That's somebody who knows him well.
At 249. Oh, that's funny. That is a good one.
Hey, how about that cowboy?
That is Dr. Dre, that's for sure. All right, any more, Dale?
Nope, that wraps it up.
That's it. Nice job, as always. We got a Dr. Dre impersonator now. That's going deep.
I don't know. It feels like the same guy who does the Ryan impersonation or the La Salsa impersonation is actually an impersonation of La Raza, but we also have an impersonator of the impersonator.
I don't think La Salsa is. I think that's just his own name that he wanted to come up with.
The name is Ryan. The guy called him as Ryan for months, and then he got a whiff of La Raza and then called himself La Salsa.
I think he calls himself that, yeah. I just don't think he's trying to imitate.
Trying
you can't imitate
him?
Irv.
I don't know.
You really can't.
I don't think that it's very clever. He goes from La Raza to La Salsa. I'm pretty sure he's imitating Irv.
Well, if he goes, oh, Juanito G.
He did that.
He did?
He doesn't do it so much anymore because now he's his own thing.
He's his own guy.
But he used to do that.
Right. Well, he's a spinoff that now has his own personality.
Well,
that's the
same thing Craig DeSerf. He was a spinoff from David Taylor, and he left, and he said, you know what? I'm going to Camelot in the cornfield. I'm going to go to a family-owned it. Once that other dealership sold to the big guys, and they just ran it into the ground, by the way, Craig left and said that's not what he liked. He is truly a man of the people. I mean, Craig DeSerf is the man of the people, and he's been that for a long time. He went to Angleton because there's a lot of places that when he decided to leave, a lot of places wanted to hire him. And he really chose carefully, and he didn't think he'd want to go to Angleton. He gave it a cursory look, and then he fell in love. He said, this is Camelot in the cornfield. He went out to Angleton and loved it because he said, you know, I get to do things the way I want to do them, which is making sure that the deals make sense for everybody who comes through those doors, because he understands. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to come back for a second vehicle, third, other members of your family and people you work with to come get vehicles from him. You know, it's a little further trip away if you want to head out to Angleton, about 42 minutes from downtown. But here's the thing. It's worth thousands in your pocket. You get the best trade-in values. You get the best prices. You got a huge selection to choose from. But they, you know, they have a lower overhead. They don't have to, they can take a much, much smaller deal. And for Craig, it's just about making you happy. That's the best word of mouth. Right now, there's tremendous offers. Like in Truck Month, there's up to $9,350 off on the 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab with TurboMax engine. They've got deep discounts on all the EVs that they have in stock. They also have great offers going on right now with the Chevy Equinox, which is what my wife drives. 1.9% financing for well-qualified buyers, 90 days, no payments at all, first 3 months. I mean, this is just an example of what they can do out there. You can start the car buying experience by starting online at GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com, or when you're ready, head down to Angleton, and he will get a deal ready for you.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.